This evening, the text will be, the message will be drawn from is 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I'd like to read, because this is kind of the part two of the previous message that I did on in this passage, I'd like to go ahead and read from verse 24 of chapter 3 through verse 6 of chapter 4. So that we get kind of a context and a feel for it. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's all I have read God's word. Let us pray for God's illumination. Pray, Lord, that you would be with us now, that you would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things from your word. Pray, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive to your word that's being preached. Pray, Lord, may it be your words and not mine that are proclaimed, that all things may be pleasing unto you and you be glorified in all that is said and done. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Beloved in the Lord, there are many, many great perils facing the true and faithful believer in Christ. And these things are beginning to take place in this country. We see it more and more each and every day. The signs of oppression and persecution are becoming more and more striking as we listen to news reports of factions within the government seeking to become more and more intrusive into our daily lives, regulating just about everything that we do, what we can eat and what we can say and what we can even believe. Our freedom from a tyrannical government that are protected, our freedoms from a tyrannical government that are protected by the Constitution are being stripped away little by little in the name of so-called civil rights and national security. The freedom to even preach truth from the pulpit is becoming more and more dangerous. And certain states have criminalized exposing homosexuality and other acts of perversion and immorality for what they are, sins against God, having determined that such unnatural acts are normal, protected under the Constitution. Since when? Since when are these normal, much less protected under the Constitution? Human decency speaks against these sexual sins, according to God, our Creator, not accepting them as basic human rights. And yet the winds of decadence, depravity prevail in this nation, and God and His children becoming more and more alienated, even blamed for being the cause of violence by immoral, unscrupulous people, just as Hitler did when he turned the nation of Germany against the Jews and other so-called undesirables, promoting the Holocaust in Germany and World War II. But the issue is not a government that has gone insanely drunk with power. the issue and problem is the mindset that's being cultivated within many churches and church denominations that have forsaken the truth of Scripture, having sacrificed it on the altar of so-called human wisdom and a watered-down gospel that is not the gospel of Christ, but rather a social gospel where man becomes his own savior and master. In many respects, the government becomes the God. It is this mindset that is being promoted and propagandized within the mainstream liberal churches and reflected in much public policy. The farther these churches stray from biblical truth, the more we'll see the government grow in tyranny. It's a natural effect for rejecting God's Word and His truth that is revealed in Scripture. These churches and their ministers of Satan, who are antichrists, are teaching for truth false doctrines, described by the Apostle John in his epistle as the spirit of error. Probably a stronger word would be a spirit of damnation, destruction, death. Just as in the days of the apostles, there are false prophets and preachers today within the church, leading many away to follow after them and their false teachings rather than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and His teachings, which are found in the Bible and summarized in our confessions. And yet, even in all that is wrong in the world today, we can have confidence and assurance that because we are children of God, abiding in Christ, and He in us, we will not be overcome by false preachers and teachers. On the contrary, we have already overcome them, which we'll learn today from our text, 1 John chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. In this passage, we are given good grounds that just as we, who are true believers in Christ, have overcome the false preachers and teachers already, we will continue in victory over them and their seductive deceptions that are intended to lead us away from Christ to follow after them. In verse 4, we are given the first ground of our victory over the false prophets and teachers, our union with Christ. In verse 5, as a result of being united in Christ, we have a different disposition than that of the world, which is the second ground of our victory over false preachers and teachers. And then in verse 6, we see that because of that different disposition, those who are of God will hear those who are true preachers or teachers of God, while those who are not of God will not. First, we see from verse 4 that the ground or basis for our confidence and assurance that we have victory over the spirit of error or the teachings of the false preachers is because of our union in Christ. Christ dwelling in us by His Spirit. A few weeks ago, we learned from verses 1 through 3 that because Christ abides in the true believer in by the Holy Spirit, he or she is able to discern the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As a test is applied to the teachings of those who present themselves as prophets or teachers of God. That is, those who say they are preaching or teaching truths that are from God are in fact true, are biblical. The test prescribed in verse 2 helps us understand whether what they say is consistent or not consistent with the truths revealed in Scripture concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. This test is applied as we listen to the person speaking from a position of authority, perhaps a professor in college, even a preacher in the pulpit, or a Sunday school teacher teaching a class of children. As we engage in conversation with a person who is teaching something, we test to see whether it's consistent with the truth taught us in Scripture. However, the deceptions of Satan and his ministers are so great that while applying this test assures us intellectually, the apostle wants to also assure our hearts that it would be impossible to fall away after these false teachers, since we belong to Christ by a mystical union with Him. In the verse before us, we now learn that because the true believer is of God, that is born of God by the regenerating work of grace by the Holy Spirit in him or her, he or she has already overcome the false teachers and the corrupt teachings of the world. We learn earlier in the series of messages from 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, that the young men were commended because of their victory over the wicked one, which gave evidence that the Word of God abided in them. This assurance of having overcome the teachings of the world, false teachers and preachers, is grounded in the fact that Jesus Himself has overcome the world. This truth is also found in John 16:33, where you read these words of comfort from our Savior, saying, quote, "In this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The basis of our good cheer in the midst of tribulation is because Christ has overcome the world. Further in Romans 8:37, the apostle reassures us that because He who has overcome the world has redeemed us from our bondage to the world, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And in Revelation 12:11, we are told that this victory or conquest over the world by true believers is, quote, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love themselves or love their lives to the death," end quote. Not only has the true believer overcome the world through Christ, who loved us and saved us from our sins and redeemed us from the power of the devil and the oppressive influence of the world, the true believer in Christ is also so preserved from the false teachings of the world that he or she will never fall completely or finally under the bondage of the spirit of error. But the strength of the saints is not in themselves. We read that in Revelation that the saints in Revelation chapter 12 overcame the world by the blood of Christ and the testimony of the word of the gospel, counting their salvation and the hope of everlasting life through Christ of greater value than even their very own lives. Though for a while we may follow after doctrines of men and the world, we find in our text in 1 John the assurance and confidence that we will not completely or finally fall prey to their false teachings. In fact, those who are united with and in Christ by faith alone possess a far greater strength of resistance than those who are not of God, who are not children of God. We read in verse 4 of our text that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Our Savior reinforces this truth in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Quote, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand," end quote. The assurance and confidence of eternal life for those who believe in Jesus Christ is in the fact that no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand because there is no one greater, no one more powerful than the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, neither man himself or the devil. So also, this is the confidence of the true believer that he or she will not fall prey to false preachers, teachers, and their deceptive teachings. Because there's none greater in us. He who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. Without Christ in us, we would not be able to stand a moment before our enemy, before the false teacher, preacher. As those who possess the Spirit of Christ in us, our daily struggles are intense and not without failings in our daily battle against our enemies. We struggle each and every day. We struggle in our afflictions. We struggle in the temptations that are ever before us. The battles before us persist each and every day. And oftentimes we fail in those battles. But for the unregenerate person, there is no real battle. Because morality and truth are a moving target, a matter of self-serving convenience. Truth will serve them. Morality will serve their own pleasures. Because of his sin nature, the natural man, the unregenerate man, is so completely immersed in ignorance, being spiritually incapable of discerning between truth and error, he is open to all sorts of fallacies, especially when one considers how, as Calvin puts it, wonderfully artful in deceiving Satan and his ministers are. You see, Satan is very good craftsman in what he does. Don't be deceived. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, including the devil. In Christ, we become strong in resisting false teachings, not by our own power, but by faith through the mighty power of God working in us. What greater might can there be in which to place our trust and confidence than in knowing that God himself will keep us from being conquered and seduced by false preachers and teachers, who has armed us with the power of his Spirit until Christ comes again. On the other hand, the apostle points out that those who are not of God, who have not been given the Holy Spirit, are of the world, as we see from verse 5. Of our text. We read, quote, "They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them," end quote. The false prophets and teachers are those who are of the world. They embrace the worldly ideas and the notions. They think that the presuppositions, the interpretations of reality are fact. They don't understand the realities of the world have been defined or interpreted by God himself. In contradiction to human wisdom and understanding. Those who are unregenerate, the unbeliever, are of a different disposition than those who are of God. The second ground for our victory over the spirit of error. What they teach and preach are the ideas and notions that come from the world's perspective, speaking at best their own opinions and speculations that go beyond what is revealed in Scripture, and at worst, that which is contrary to the word of truth, the Bible. They undermine the authority of Scripture. They subvert the truths revealed to gain notoriety and suppress the truth and unrighteousness, seeking to become captains of their own ships, as it said, as they say. More than that, those who are under the sway of the world will hear and believe the lies that are spoken and taught by others of the world. Because what is said and taught conforms and agrees with their way of thinking, which is the world's way of thinking. That is the thinking and reasoning of unregenerate persons. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 19, the world loves its own. And if the world loves its own, then it will hear what its own has to say, as though it is true, even if it's a lie. The Apostle Paul also warned there would be many people within the church. You see, our enemies are not just out there. There are enemies within the church who would turn away from the truth to believe the lie. You read in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4, 3 and 4, quote, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." So it is today. Because they are of the world, they will not endure sound doctrine, but prefer to hear from false teachers, many churches. They want to feel good about themselves. Because they have itchy ears, they hear and believe fables. The biggest fable that's been told, foisted on mankind, is the fable of evolution. Because of their desire to forsake the truth, we learn from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. I'll just summarize. That God will send them a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie is true. That's the consequence. Forsaking the Word of God. Consequence, subverting its authority, teaching that it doesn't say what it says, but it says something different. The world is so bent on hearing its own worldly views that it will not only refuse to hear the truth revealed in Scripture, but those who are of the world will actively seek to prevent the truth to be spoken. This is implied by verse 5 of our text, but is more clearly taught elsewhere in Scripture. In the Old Testament, we see the Lord rebuking the rebellious people of Israel in Isaiah 30, verses 9 through 11, concerning this evil practice. We read, quote, "This is a rebellious people." This is the Lord speaking. "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of God, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things.' Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." End quote. The people of Israel were so deeply impressed with worldly teachings, they actually told the prophets of God not to speak to them about what is right, not to tell them what's true. The people wanted the prophets to tell them to depart from the way of the Lord, to follow after the nations and the evil practices. Turn away from the path of righteousness because they did not want to hear the truth. They did not want to hear of the condemnation and how they sinned against God. They wanted to hear smooth things, even at the expense of causing the Holy One of Israel to cease from before them. And preventing the truth to be spoken concerning their sinful state and their condemnation, they sought only to hear that they were okay. Does that sound familiar? Back in the 70s, probably ages me, but that's okay. I'm old. I'm proud of it. In the 70s, there was popular psychology called I'm okay, you're okay. Everybody's okay. Everything's wonderful. What a lie. We're not okay. It's just nonsense, foolishness. But yet, today, we're not saying I'm okay, you're okay, although there's maybe some have might have suggested that or implied that. But today, we don't want to hear that there's something wrong with us. We want to hear that we're good. We don't want to hear that we're in danger of condemnation, even as death surrounds us. Hate and evil pervades the very essence of the society. This forsaking of the truth to hear worldly teachings from false prophets was not just an Old Testament affliction, it is an affliction that continues to today. We not need to look far as we are forbidden to expose the great many sins that many of the people of this nation have loved. They refuse to hear the truth and forbid faithful ministers from speaking the truth in the name of so-called human decency. And if you do, you're considered hateful and bigoted. Reading recently in an article, I remember when this Supreme Court decision came out against the Marriage Act, refusing to uphold it as being married one man and one woman, marriage being between one man and one woman. And the reasoning behind this, and Justice Kennedy wrote this, saying that upholding the marriage between one man and one woman was being hateful and demeaning to homosexuals. What a bunch of idiocy and foolishness. How dare them override what God has clearly taught us in Scripture. And yet, we ought not to be surprised. For this is the way of the world, the wisdom of the world. It's okay to be hateful and demeaning toward faithful Christians. The child of God will not hear such nonsense. The voice of the false preacher and teacher, or our Supreme Court justice for that matter, to follow after them. Won't hear, at least not completely and not for long. Further, we see from verse 6 that because they have the Holy Spirit, those who are of God, and thereby having a different disposition, they will hear those who are true preachers and teachers of God. While those who are not of God, they will not hear. In this verse, the Apostle John, together with the other apostles and all the true ministers of the Word, are described as being of God. And because they are of God, those who are also of God will hear and obey their Word. Jesus said, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, he says, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. and they follow me. Sheep will not follow a different person. They will follow their owner only. And those who are in Christ, they will hear, those who are of God will hear those who are of God. And so far as the preacher and teacher speak the truth faithfully, the gospel of truth faithfully, as it is revealed in Scripture, he'll be heard by those who are born of God, that is, who know God. On the other hand, we learn also from verse 6 that those who are of the world will neither desire to hear the word of truth from those who are of God, nor can they hear and understand spiritual truths, because they can only be understood by those who have been given the Holy Spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, who is also known as the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is given to us, as we read in John 14, 17. Jesus talks about the Spirit of Truth later on, chapter 15, verse 26. They don't have the Spirit of Truth in them because they are not of God. They do not know God, being ignorant of the truth, spiritually blinded by their own sinful nature and under the sway of the devil and the world. And by nature, they are children of God's wrath. The apostle concludes the first six verses of chapter 4 with these words that sum up his exhortation and warning. Last part of verse 6 reads, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is by testing the spirits concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, that is, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, who came to die on the cross for our sins, obtaining for sinners the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, salvation, and everlasting life, just as he and his work on our behalf is revealed in Scripture." These are of the Spirit of Truth. Those who make that kind of confession are the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is distinguished from the Spirit of Error, which makes no such confession of Christ. They will modify it in some way, and usually it stems from having a false understanding of the person of Christ. They'll confess a Jesus that is made up according to the imagination of man and is in conformity with the ideologies and notions of ungodly, unrighteous, and unregenerate worldviews. Not only that, they will refuse to hear the truth, tell others not to listen to the preachers who speak the truth, thus leading people away from Jesus Christ with lies. Moreover, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error by the fact that those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them are not overcome by the spirit of error, but rather overcome the false teachers of the world, because there is none greater nor more powerful than him who is in them. And further, they have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. They who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them do not hear those who are of the world, but hear and follow those who are of God. Those who are true ministers, true preachers and teachers of God's Word, the Bible. Let's therefore, beloved in Christ, be assured that the victory over false teachers who preach and teach their corrupt worldly doctrines belongs to us. The victory is ours. This is our confidence, whereby we are not to fear falling prey to the deceptions of false teachers and preachers. He who has saved us and given us the Holy Spirit will not fail to preserve us and keep us from departing from the faith. For he is our strength, who gives us the ability to understand the truths of God as they are revealed in Scripture, to discern truth from error. Let us put our trust in Him and in His strength and wisdom, which He gives liberally to all who ask them of Him, so that we might be able to discern the spirit of truth, spirit of error, and God be glorified in all that we say and do. Finally, we must stand strong in the truths that are revealed in Scripture, which are contrary to the impulses of the world. There are many who oppose the biblical teachings found in God's Word, who would even seek to forbid the true believer from declaring those truths. But let us learn to say with the Apostle Peter, when he was forbidden by those in authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling them, quote, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." End quote. Acts 4, 19 and 20. Something similar was stated at the beginning of the Reformation when Martin Luther was told to recant the biblical teachings he had written and declared, but he refused because the truths which he had written were founded upon the teachings of Scripture. He stood before the council of false teachers at the Diet of Worms and declared, quote, "I cannot and will not recant anything, for to do so is to go against conscience, and that's neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God. Amen." End quote. But the only way we can have such a bold confidence, such as the Apostle Peter or even Martin Luther, is in knowing not only what we believe, but why we believe it from Scripture. Let's learn to defend the truth, no matter the cost, knowing that God is not just with us, but also in us, by the grace of God keeping us from the deceptions of the world, giving us the desire to be strengthened in Him by feeding daily upon His Word. As we faithfully feed upon God's Word each and every day, submitting our thoughts and our opinions and our will to the truths revealed to us in His Word, we'll begin to understand the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, to the glory of God forever, through Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom belong all glory, honor, and wisdom, and power forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do give thanks to You, rejoice in Your Word. Lord, we thank You, You have not left us as orphans, but You have given us the Holy Spirit. And You have made us more than conquerors over the world, more than conquerors over the spirit of error, the deceptions of the world. For greater are You than he who is in the world. You have delivered us, and You will keep us according to Your grace, Your goodness that abides forever. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord, when we fail, when we sin against You, when we seek strength in our own selves, when we seek our own wisdom, when we think beyond what You have revealed in Your Word. Lord, forgive us. And we know that we have that forgiveness because of what Christ has accomplished for us in dying on the cross for our sins. Not just past sins, but present sins and all our future sins. That You may be glorified in all that we say and do. Lord, You keep us from falling away. We rejoice in that. We give praise to You. We glorify Your name and extol Your greatness. Lord, give us boldness to lift up Your name before a nation, before people who disdain Your name, who dishonor Jesus Christ, who subvert the word of truth. deny the authority of Scripture. Your word. Your inerrant, infallible word. Lord, let us be strong in you, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us, to the lost, to those who are sitting in darkness. Let us ever be patient, proclaiming the gospel, claiming your truth in love, giving an answer, a reason for the hope that is in us in all meekness and in the fear of you, O Lord. Let us not become haughty or puffed up in our knowledge, but Lord, that you be glorified in all that we say and do. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' most precious name. Amen.